I want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. For those that are new to the show, The Green Side is a golf talk show that is a collaboration between the Hackers Paradise and PutterZone.com. The show is all about the green side. Anything inside of 100 yards or so we'll cover, with much of our focus being on putters. Before we get started, I want to introduce my co-host and partner in these adventures every month, and that is Sean from PutterZone.
Hey Josh, how's life in paradise today?
It's the same as it usually is, paradise. And yourself?
Right, doing well out here. Spring has sprung, turning the corner toward summer, and it's definitely golf season.
It definitely is. Before we get started, you know, we got a monthly show we do here, and we have so much stuff to fill into to each episode, and the feedback's been rolling in, and people are enjoying what they hear. So I wanted to pass that along to you. And we always enjoy doing it.
We've been getting some really kind feedback and encouragement here, and people are responding and embracing the show, and it's really exciting and motivating for me, and I know it is for you too.
Absolutely. You know, every month we kind of put our outline to the show, and it's getting harder and harder because there's so many great products coming out. I think this show is going to be just, you know, an incredible amount of information and kind of mini audio reviews for people on some stuff that's out that, you know, we've had a chance to sample and work with and things like that.
Yes, and for those who have admonished us for only talking about putters while talking also about the short game, we have something for them in this episode, don't we?
That is absolutely right. In fact, we have quite a few things for them, but this show is definitely not just about putters. But for our putter fans out there, we have some stuff for them.
Try as I might to make it all about putters.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it is Putter Zone.
Yeah. There you go.
And that sound indicates our hot new gear section. Before we get started with this episode, you kind of want to have a deja vu flashback of something we talked about last episode.
Yeah, Josh, you mentioned how thrilled you were with the Seymour M7 putter in our last episode, and I've since had the opportunity to test drive one myself, and I am equally impressed with that putter. I mean, it just is so beautifully crafted, and it's just rock solid on every front. And so I just kind of wanted to reiterate your experience because it really squares with mine.
Yeah, you know, like we said last time, it's very rare when I take something, review it, and put it in my bag, and that was the case with the M7. And obviously they don't stay there that long because we're constantly reviewing, but that is one heck of a putter that some people at the Florida golf outing that we had just a few weeks ago had the opportunity to try out, and we had quite a few people fall in love with it there as well.
Yeah, and you know, we're in an era when it seems like, you know, a lot of the equipment manufacturers, they have to come out with a new UFO or flying saucer every 6 months. And I'm really impressed with Seymour because, you know, this putter really isn't that much different in its scope and presentation than the M1 from 3 years ago. And to me, that just means that they just have such a vision, and they've created a product and an alignment system that is really built to last. And so they don't have to develop a new UFO every 6 months.
I agree with you.
That's what really stands out with this putter.
I agree with you. You know, they slanted the back end a little bit, which is something that I've always looked for, as well as adding that insert, which is one of the best I've ever felt. And it really is an amazing piece of equipment. Now, we obviously don't want to reminisce too much about last episode. Why don't you kick us off with the first thing we're going to talk about in hot new gear?
We are going to talk about the Bettinardi BB Series putters by Mr. Robert Bettinardi.
And, you know, we've discussed Bettinardi in the past more about the split from Mizuno than we have about the actual equipment. But you and I have both spent considerable time with the BB Series. And why don't you give out some of the technical information for people, and then we can get right into why it's possibly one of the most amazing out there.
Even before we get into the technical information, you know, I just want to mention how impressed I was with just sort of the immaculate presentation of this putter. I mean, every last detail on this thing is so precise and so well executed. I just had kind of a wow moment when I first got it in my hands. I mean, every last micro aspect of the paint fill to the milling to the cornering, I mean, just a real work of art.
That I would absolutely agree with, although I have said, and it's no secret, that I think their patented head covers are terrible.
Well, yes. I wouldn't extend my rave review of the presentation of the putter itself to that head cover. That's
absolutely correct. And, you know, I've never taken I'm a big fan of the company Daphne's head covers with their lovely animals, and I've never really gone as far with the putter covers. But I would with these because I just don't like them. But once you undress the putter, that's when you get to the work of art and the beauty that is the Bettinardi BB series.
Yeah, it just the head cover doesn't match the caliber, the quality, or the price point of the putter itself. It's like putting a fine Bordeaux in a box. But
wait, boxed wine's not good?
Well, it could be, but the presentation just isn't quite commensurate with the wine itself.
That I would agree with.
So, the BB series is Bettinardi's first, you know, retail series since the split with Mizuno, and I think that he loaded the bases and knocked it out of the park with these.
Yeah, you know, when I first got them, I was like, it looks similar. But that's once with the plastic wrap still on there and everything else. When you actually take a look at this putter, I'll agree with you, it is an absolute work of art. From the face milling to the paint fill to the presentation to the style to the shape to everything, there's nothing missing here. I'm a big fan of the darker finishes on my putters. And I'm a big fan of different finishes on my putters rather than the same old satin that we've seen over and over again. And these really kind of stick with that dark finish mentality. They offer no glare. But one thing that is Bettinardi, you know, their specialty is that face milling, and it's something special.
Yeah, it's a signature, and it stands out, and it's just really, you know, a distinguishing factor that I'm glad that he stuck with.
Can you tell people exactly why they do the honeycomb feature?
Well, my understanding is it's just Bob's way of ensuring precise flatness across the face so that there, you know, is just from a tolerance standpoint, absolute preciseness, precise flatness.
Gotcha. Okay. Now you can go back to the technical aspects.
Well, you know, not to make too much of the presentation, but I mean, what you're seeing and what we're talking about in terms of just how this putter presents itself, I just think that is a window into the soul of the BB series. I mean, if it looks that good, then clearly the attention to detail is there at every step of the process, all the way through the presentation. And I think it's just that assurance and that confidence that level of care and quality brings to your hands that makes this the type of investment that could stay in your bag for many years to come, and that makes it well worth its asking price, which happens to be $265.
I was gonna say it's between $265 and $300, so that right. You're right on the money. When you're looking at it and you see the whole total package, like you said, and you said it's kind of a window into the actual, I think it's a window into actually Bettinardi himself.
Sure.
And I think that perhaps maybe this is what he's been waiting to do for so long, and he can finally do it because, I mean, he's obviously a craftsman. He's obviously incredible at what he does. And I think, you know, I'm trying to spit it out here. I think when I take a look at this, it screams Bettinardi and it screams quality.
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, and here's a line from my review that I think echoes what you're saying. And it is, to my eye, the Bettinardi BB series exudes total self-assuredness. He could have tried after the split with Mizuno to make a splash with edgy designs, brash ornamentation, or fancy technological features. Instead, he delivered a straight-up milled masterwork with class and classicism. And I think that goes right to the heart of the designer himself. Just totally confident, not a tons of bells and whistles, just straight-up, hardcore, performance-oriented putters.
Yeah, if you're a fan of putters, you know, forget about whether they're going to make more putts or things like that. That's for a different argument. If you're a fan of putters and the art that putters can be, there's very few that I've come across that stand out like this.
Exactly.
I will say I have one criticism. Well, two if you count the head cover. and that is, when I look at this, it screams the term classic elegance. And they're missing a style that I know that he doesn't really do, but I would love to see this in the classic, you know, 8802, the whole Phil Mickelson, Wilson Putter style.
And, well, he's got to keep us hungry, right?
Right, I know.
It's kind of like Apple and the iPad. We know there's going to be a camera.
Oh, of course there is. 3 months after they release this one, so
exactly.
They can rob everybody.
So I wouldn't be surprised.
You know, that putter with that style putter with what he has going on with this would possibly be the first putter I've purchased in a while. I think we've described it the best we can. It's simply works of art that actually work just as good as they look and have that Bettinardi name and artwork behind them.
Right. So, folks, you know where we stand.
That's exactly right. We'd obviously want to hear from you as well. Next up in our hot new gear segment is something different. It's not a putter. And that is Bocchieri Golf releasing the Heavy Wedge series. Now, the Heavy Putter we've discussed on this show. But the Heavy Wedge is a different animal. And why don't you tell us, you know, we've both messed around with this. Why don't you tell us your thoughts and what makes these different from your typical Cleveland Vokey, you know, Callaway wedges?
Well, the distinguishing factor of the Heavy Wedge is, you know, true to its name, it's heavier. But the heavier aspect of this wedge is more in the grip end of the putter, which raises the balance point.
You mean wedge? We're so used to talking about putters. Jumping off on
is
me.
It safe to say I have a one-track mind?
Apparently. But anyway, go back to what you were saying. It's at the grip section of the wedge.
Yes. The grip section of the wedge. So it raises the balance point, which Bocchieri Golf claims enhances control and stability through the swing.
Did it work for you?
You know, I think it did. I'm not Mr. Phil Mickelson when it comes to wedge play.
That means you play right-handed, right?
Take this with a grain of salt. For me, it did work. I found it to help in terms or on shots, half wedges, chipping. You know, if there's a time when I might get what I would call the wedge yips, I felt that this did promote some stability, but I did feel like I was giving up feel and distance on full shots. So it was somewhat mixed on that front.
You know, it's kind of funny because we haven't really discussed this in detail, Sean and I, but your thoughts echo my thoughts and the thoughts of everybody who tried it at the Florida Golf outing a few weeks back. The short game and chipping and pitching really excelled. Full shots offered no problems, but what people really talked about was the lack of feel as they were going through the ball. And, you know, I sat on the green side, no pun intended, I guess I should say, the other day and worked on hitting flop shots with different wedges, 60-degree wedges. And I found it extremely difficult to do with this wedge. Not because it didn't perform. It's just, you know, with that kind of touch shot, you want to have your hands feel impact. And with this, I really didn't. However, with that being said, I let, you know, some even low, mid to high handicaps, I would say, work on pitching and chipping with these. And the vast majority of them said, where can I buy this? So I think in that aspect, it really does work well. But it is missing a little bit of the feel aspect.
Yeah. And for those who find themselves, myself included, sometimes blading the ball or just getting that kind of yippiness around the green for a variety of reasons. I think there's sort of a mind-body thing that goes when you're trying to control that type of swing. I think this could really be a help to the game and give you that confidence around the green.
Perfectly well said, because one of the things that we notice most of all when people really struggle with those shots is a deceleration.
Sure.
They're trying to help the ball, and they decelerate as they come through. This wedge kind of won't let you do that. So it really helps get the club back in position with your hands to make that stroke, even if you get a little handsy rather than keeping those straight hands, and keep your wrist straight. It really, in that aspect, works as well as described and as well as marketed, which, as you and I both know, is rare these days.
Yeah, and I think it comes back to a theme that we've discussed, and that's giving golfers options. It's giving them tools. It's giving them opportunities to bring clubs that fit and match their game or their skill level. You know, and for that, I think Stephen Bocchieri is again to be commended for thinking outside the box and delivering something unique that could help a lot of players.
Absolutely. And that sound brings us to our Tech Talk segment. And this week we are going to talk, or I should say this month, we are going to talk about the year of the wedge. And Sean, why don't you kind of tell them what we mean by that?
The Year of the Wedge is a new marketing campaign by Cleveland Golf, and it is just phenomenal because it gives the average golfer crystal clear insights into what's going on with the wedge, with the groove rule, and what to anticipate in the years ahead with regard to the rules regarding grooves on wedges and what's going on tour and what it means to the average recreational golfer. So, you know, it's so informative and so well articulated that I really think it deserves applause.
What do you think of the actual thing, the year of the wedge, outside of the marketing side of it?
In terms of,
You know, this is basically the year of the wedge.
oh yeah, in terms of hoarding them,
Yes.
like a stockpile,
Do you think
like the coming
consumers
apocalypse of no
were going to
spin.
see it one day? They're going to open up their closet and 70 wedges are going to come piling out?
That's what Cleveland's hoping, I think, with this campaign. You know, it is it's a sales tool, but it's a good one.
Well, and it's an
And I
accurate
think that
tool.
people, what's that?
It's an accurate tool.
Sure. Yeah. Stockpile, the coming apocalypse.
You know, do you think the average golfer and consumer can tell the difference between the grooves?
I think so.
You know, my gut feeling is they can.
Yeah.
Are you yourself going to stockpile?
Well, I'd like to.
I mean, that for me, I already am technically, and I always said I wouldn't, but I love, ironically, the Cleveland CG15 wedges, and because of that, I've have an extra two that are just sitting there waiting to be played,
There you go.
and every time before a round, I keep saying, God, I wish that I could play the new ones with the new grooves, but I'm kind of saving them. Now, with the advent of the internet, we know that these wedges will be available down the road through eBay and online stores and this and that. But eventually they're going to run out.
Sure.
And I want to make sure I have them.
You know, going back to your question about, you know, just the average recreational golfer, you know, like I said, I'm no great shakes with the wedge, but just chipping with the CG15, you know, I see it with my own eyes. Just that alone. I mean, it's real. So the question is, you know, how much do you stockpile? How important is it to your game relative to the investment, et cetera, or do you just move on? As they are on the tours. And I think it's important to maybe reiterate, you know, this Year of the Wedge campaign. Basically what it does is it just walks you through what's happening out there, because I think there's just a ton of confusion in the media about the wedge rule and not only how it impacted the tours, but how it impacts us, just the average golfer. And so to reiterate that, you know, this year on tour, the top professionals, they're no longer allowed to play with those sharp U grooves that have been so popular and so effective. On the top amateur circuits, you have until 2014. The rest of us have until 2024. We've got 14 years ahead of us. But the manufacturers have to stop producing them by the beginning of 2011. So no wonder people are confused. Just processing all those dates and all those, you know, all those, all the fine print there. So what Cleveland has done is sort of walk us through that and make sure we all understand kind of what's going on.
Now, let me first be the first to say Cleveland doesn't pay us anything for this show. You know, we're not, this is not an advertisement. But we both agree that it's a really cool idea being the Year of the Wedge. And I believe the website is www.yearofthewedge.com, correct?
Yeah, and I wrote about it, and I don't typically write about sales campaigns, but it's informational and it's spot on. So it deserves the spotlight. And they have a history of this. You know, their Never Compromise website has a section called Fundamentals. It's all about learning the fundamentals of putter fitting and putter physics and things like that. And
boy, every time we talk about wedges, you're going to bring it back to putters, aren't you?
There you go.
But like you were saying, it is informational, it is educational, and it really does help. And I urge people to at least check it out. And it is yearofthewedge.com.
And that sound ushers in the buzz, where we talk about the hottest news and products in the world of the short game. And today we have something a little spooky to talk about. Josh?
Is it Halloween? Is it Casper? You know, I just hear ghouls and goblins. And my cheesy finishes aside, this week on The Buzz, we're going to talk about the putter that's been taking the world by storm, and that is the TaylorMade Rosa Corza Ghost, with nine other names, I'm sure, mixed in there. It's a new twist to maybe an old idea that they've been talking about for a while, and I can tell you I've actually used it. We have one here. What are your thoughts?
They told me there were none.
Yeah, THP's a special
place.
Beyond
the tour. How'd that happen?
THP's a special place, and no, I'm kidding.
You got your tour card.
It was strictly magazine deadline. That's the only reason. And we didn't have it long, I should say that. when you first heard The Ghost, what were your thoughts?
My first thought was spider and then ghost. Where are they going with this?
I didn't know what to make. You know, we found out about this, Golfer Gal and myself, at Doral. And we were sworn to secrecy, which that's fine. We kept our secret. But the first thing I thought about, and you being a putter guy, you'll remember this, is remember the old Zebra putters?
Sure.
They had a white, they had a gray, they had a black. You know, it's not revolutionary in that aspect. But those putters were pretty bad. And I got to tell you, my first thought was, what are they doing? They've lost their mind. But when you see
it is a new UFO.
That's true. And when you see it in your hand and putt with it for the first time, they got it right, which is not something that many companies do the first time out. The white finish is not glossy, for those that are going to ask, and it's definitely not like a powder-coated finish. It's a matte white that didn't offer any problems in direct sunlight at all.
Yeah, I first sort of heard about it before I even saw a photo, and I was like, huh, you know, interesting. And then I saw the photo, and I kind of – the more I stared at it, the more I was sort of drawn to it, and I could sort of see the method to the madness there.
That's kind of what, you know, most people thought is, okay, at first, absurdity. It's like the 12 steps to an alcoholism. You know, first it's whatever they are. But in this case, it was absurd. Then it was, what is it going to look like? Then it was, well, that's not so bad. And then it was, okay, I got to have it.
Well, there you go.
Apparently, acceptance. Marketing and acceptance is the same thing. But, you know, I'll tell you, in hand, it looks very similar to the pictures. The pictures, in a lot of cases, do it justice, at least the ones we took. The insert is phenomenal. It's soft, it's supple, but at the same time, it's not that artificial soft, you know, that we hear and get sometimes, where it almost feels like a rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing like that. You can feel the ball come off the face, and the white really does set up nicely. The three black alignment aids. Now, I've been saying for almost a year now that I thought the Never Compromise X-Ray mallet had the best alignment aid in all of golf. And I think it might have just been surpassed. It's close. But both of these putters, the alignment aid is outstanding. The three black lines that are cut away in the Ghost are absolutely awesome. It makes you aim at the hole, and it makes you think every putt is going in the hole. With that being said, the absence hole behind the lines, I don't care for.
Well, it kind of belies the notion of the white, does it not, allowing the green to bleed through. Now, I haven't had one in my hands, so I'll defer to you on that. But you know, it seems like it might add a level of distraction that's unnecessary if you are talking about the superiority of this alignment aid. Why not let that just dominate the entire flange and do without that?
I absolutely agree in that aspect. And what I'll say is, it has the little two-ball-esque design, meaning there's a different color that's a circle behind the alignment aid. And like I said, the alignment aid is just simply awesome. But the circle shouldn't have been absent or cut away, if you ask me. It should have been just a different color. Mm-hmm. Make it black to match with the rest of it. But I understand the marketing side of it, and that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. What I'll say is they could have done two things, and this is taking nothing away from what I think is one of the best new putters to come out in quite some time. The first thing is make the bottom of the absent area a little narrower so people can pick up the ball with it. I mean, it seems like a no-brainer to me, but people want to be able to scoop the ball up, hence the amazing ability that everybody wants a Sabertooth or Odyssey White Hot number 7. You know, the Ghost has no scooper, and maybe that's because you make more putts with it. I'm not going to knock that. But all they would have had to do is narrow the bottom just a little bit, and you could have dropped it on a ball, and the ball would have stayed inside it. The second thing is, and this is just from trial, when putting on the fringe or even slightly off the green, the absent area gets caught on the grass. And this happened for numerous people who tried it out. Now, maybe TaylorMade's saying if you use our clubs, you won't miss the green. I can tell you that it was tried by 3 people, and all 3 people said they would buy it and put it in their bag. So regardless of all my little nitpicking, because that's exactly what I'm doing here, this is a keeper.
So the grass comes through the cutout?
It does.
Sort of grabs it a little, huh?
It does. But like I said, all 3 people that tried it, me included, said we would put it in the bag.
Isn't this a little bit of a celebrity death match between TaylorMade and Nike with the IC putters, which were the other colored putter to make a splash in recent years? And the whole concept there was to sort of promote visual quietude and blend in with the green of the green.
Yeah, you know.
And now we have something that's designed to do the exact opposite, which is basically stand out in contrast with the green itself.
I think you're onto something there, and I think, in recent months we've seen a lot that have come out as far as colors mellowing you on the golf course and doing this and doing that, and it'll really all come down to a personal preference. But mark my words, within 12 months they won't be the only white putter on the market. It was that well received by the people who tried it on our end. And one thing cannot be denied is when you set up and you hit the ball, it works. Whether that's because it's white or silver or blue or black or anything else, it works. Now, I'll tell you this even further. Line this up with a Srixon Tour yellow ball, and you have a match made in heaven on the putting green.
Well, maybe we should have a Nostradamus-style contest. Who can predict the next putter company to come out with a white putter?
Yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. We may have to announce that in our next show, assuming their one hasn't already come out.
So far, so good.
My question is, like you said, it's the death match between the other ones, except the other one's not around anymore. So does that mean that the Ghost won by scaring it away?
Maybe.
Maybe it got
strangled by a spider.
It's very possible. TaylorMade's known for their wacky shapes along with a couple of other putter companies. This one, I will tell you, at setup, doesn't look strange at all.
That's what struck me when I first saw the photo. I'm like, I heard about it, and then I saw it, and I'm like, huh, that's kind of compelling.
Yeah, it really does. At setup, within 2 or 3 putts, people were saying, this is it. This is what they've been looking for in the feel of the spider or the itsy bitsy, with the insert of a Vecino, which is their new version, and so on and so forth. It really does have everything. I would like to see this done in many colors, but I got to tell you, and I didn't think I was going to be this way, but the white just flat out works.
Now we're going to move on to the Jargon Buster segment, where we demystify a lot of the terms, terminologies, and voodoo surrounding equipment. And today we are going to talk about putter length. What is the right putter length for you? What does it mean to your game? What are the trends in putter length? and just sort of walk through how it affects you as a golfer. Josh, I know you've made some recent changes to your putter length.
I have. I was fit for a putter because I changed my putting stroke a little bit, and we can get to that in a couple minutes on how different it is depending on how you putt style-wise. And I went to a shorter putter. For the one that's in my bag, you know, being that we review a lot of putters, it's I'm all over the place between 33 to 35. But for the personal one that's in my bag for my regular scoring rounds, I did go to a shorter one. What about you?
Yeah, I call myself a putter schizophrenic in that, you know, I don't really have a choice sometimes. And so I have to roll with different putter lengths and make do. So in some ways, it actually works against me, testing out all these putters. But you know, back to the subject itself, there's been a trend. You know, we see these sort of fashionable things in putters and putting. You know, a trend toward heavier putters, or a trend now we've seen in recent years toward advocating shorter putters. So you see that, and then what you inevitably see is a bit of a backlash as well. So one of the things with putter length I think that's important to realize is that it's shorter, longer isn't sort of a fixed rule for you. It's really your putting philosophy which will also help determine the appropriate length of your putter. You know, and to use an example, I was speaking with Pat O'Brien recently. He's a top putting instructor. He's a consultant to Seymour. He's Zach Johnson's putting instructor. And he advocates a more upright putting stance, which necessitates a little longer putter compared to someone taking a less upright stance. And he said, you know, he doesn't understand where the emphasis on shorter putters is coming from. Now, that's, you know, certainly based on his own putting philosophies. But I just think it's important for people to remember that it's not just you need a shorter putter, you need a longer putter. You need to understand sort of the putting philosophy that you're taking, and then adjust your length accordingly.
Now, you know, it's one thing that I think people don't even pay attention to, and we kind of did this with Lie Angle, you know, a couple of shows ago. People go in, and I think they just kind of pick them up off the rack and see which one goes. And they, I think a lot of people, especially beginners, assume putters are all the same length.
Yeah, and I think that's the important part of this subject, is that to just be aware of putter length, and then to start drilling down as to how it might impact or improve your game. And you're dead on. I mean, for a long time, it was just standard length for men, 35 inches. Didn't matter if you're 5'8" or 6'2". Didn't matter what your putting stance was. You just grabbed it and ran with it. And I think there's so much more awareness now. So, you know, whether you're talking about a trend toward shorter putters, or you're talking, you know, like someone like Pat O'Brien or Stan Utley, who advocate a more upright setup, which would require maybe a little longer putter. I think just that awareness alone unlocks, you know, possibilities for the average golfer.
You know, this is the stuff that I think people really should be paying attention to. In just a couple of episodes, we've covered lie angle, we've covered, you know, the putter length, we've covered swing weight and things like that. And I think just these little things can make somebody a far better putter.
Sure, yeah. Ignorance is not bliss, you know.
I use that excuse with my wife all the time, though.
Knowledge can be challenging, but, you know, it unlocks possibilities. And I think, you know, sometimes I feel the more I learn, the less I know when it comes to golf and putting. It's like an onion. I think I'm peeling and getting to the core, and in fact, I'm going the opposite direction. But it's exciting too, and there are little things that come along, and I start to put it together like a puzzle. And when you finish the puzzle, you go, "Wow, you know, that really had an impact." And so, you know, hopefully, people out there listening can, you know, discover something for their game as well.
Well, that does it for this month's episode of The Green Side. For my co-host Sean, I am Josh with the Hacker's Paradise. We want to thank you for listening to this episode, and we will be back with you next month. All I can tell you is, do not fear the green, conquer it. Thanks, guys.